they wouldn't see that. I'd like to welcome you to the Don and Wynn Show, another episode of the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free, and aside from being a human being, I was the co-author of the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I have girlfriends that talk to space people, and I'm a songwriter and a poet. And my co-host, Don Newham.
You know, actually, I'm gonna save you some embarrassment here and give you the real meat of the last name. It's Newsom.
I know it's Newsom.
Yeah, but don't you notice something about the ending of that? It's
Om.
Om.
No.
Om. Newsom. It's from the French. We are of Eric the Red. Newsom du Eric.
I see.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe it's like you are the anchoring the energy of the new Om with a little S. No comment.
With a little what? I missed that.
You're part of the new paradigm, the new Om with a little S. Like you have new Om and S in between, right? Don?
Yeah.
Don't take this any further. Okay, leave it right there.
I love you, Wynn. I've missed you.
You have?
Well, you know, when I went on my trip to California, you and I usually talk about every day a couple hours, and we haven't had the luxury of being able to do that.
We've actually had a little squabble this week, okay?
We had one of those, too.
Yeah, I mean, you said, Wynn, how come you aren't keeping your commitments? Where is the latest channeling from Girlfriend X? And I said, Don, how come you didn't send me Windows 2000, which I needed to fix my computer? Right?
Yes, true. We both delayed on our commitments. You're correct.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you called me on it. Good for you. Good for you.
Now, I should also mention that for 3 weeks in a row, you sounded like hell on this show because you didn't have the right equipment. And every week for the last 6 weeks, you're 2 to 3 minutes late.
Well, this is true. And
you usually start with an apology. But since you started bitching at me, I am going to, like, call you on the carpet. Besides, I don't know what else to say. You told me we had a lot of listeners, so it immediately got me nervous. So, well, take the rest of the show, because we have too many listeners.
Oh, we've got a lot of wonderful listeners out there. And you know, folks, I want to thank you all so much for writing in to us and letting us know how you feel and letting us know your comments about what we're trying to build here and what we're trying to accomplish. And I sincerely and deeply do appreciate all those comments. It keeps us going. And you know, it's funny when somebody sends in an email saying, I love what you guys are doing. Thank you so much. You're changing my life. You know, many of us people who have various shows on the bbsradio.com, we talk about these emails between each other. And it increases our energy. It increases our vibration. And it just keeps the joy flowing. So thank you.
You see, Don doesn't really get paid. So all he gets is emails that say, we love you. And that makes it feel like he's doing something worthwhile.
Yeah, that's better than getting paid, Wynn.
It is?
You bet it is.
Depends how hungry you are.
Well, you know, this is true. I guess if you're starving and someone sends you an email saying, I love you, it's...
They better send some food. You know. Somebody once said a phrase. You know the phrase, give till it helps. No, give till it hurts.
Yeah.
Give till it hurts. Right.
That's right.
They kind of changed it around and said, give till it helps.
I like that.
If you really think about it, there's really wisdom in that.
That's right.
You know what? If you really want to make a difference in somebody's life, if you're going to commit to making a difference, then You give till it helps.
You know, I love that. And it's funny because some of the little things you have me do, pardon me, some of the little things you have me do, like...
Don't tell them that I told you to stand upside down and tie yourself to the doorknob. No, go ahead.
You remember, you know, folks, Wynn's always getting me to do the Pray It Forward. And you can go to prayitforward.net. Or you'll see a link on our blogandservice.com index page as to how that works. But Wynn's always calling in the light, calling me and saying, Don, you're working too hard. And I'm like, Wynn, I got to go. I got another phone call. He goes, Don, just slow down. And I'll get very flustered, and he'll say, Don, let's call in the light. And he won't wait for an answer. He'll just start into a prayer. And by the time he's done, I feel really good. And he's always telling me to pick a prayer partner and use my twin brother and call in the light. And, you know, it's funny, Wynn, because when we went to California looking for a home, synchronicity, let me fill you in on one. We went there to Mount Shasta, and it's a beautiful area, but there's not many homes. And for four children, which I have a lovely family, schooling there is just not quite what I had envisioned. So we started driving about an hour south. And my brother kept saying to me, you know, my dad told me about this place called Paradise we've driven through when I was younger. And I can't remember how he could have went there without me, because we've always been together most of our life. But he says, no, Dad took me to this place called Paradise, and it's beautiful. So we left Mount Shasta, drove down through Paradise, and Doug looked around and he said, this is where we're going to live. And I looked around and I said, yes, it is. And the energy was fabulous. Well, to keep a long story short, we went in and saw this wonderful real estate agent. And he was a spiritual individual. And it was, you know, he had just been starting out as a real estate agent in the office with his wife. And we looked at a bunch of homes. But the first home we initially looked at, we asked him about, and he said it wasn't available. It wasn't listed. It was occupied. So we forgot about it. And we looked at homes for 3 days. And the last day, Doug was laying on the bed, you know, in the hotel, and I'm on the other bed, of course, other bed. And I said, Doug, let's call in the light. Because he was saying, if we don't get the first home, we're out of here. And I know this is where we're meant to be, but if we don't get that first home, if it's not available because all the other homes we don't like, we're gone. And we hadn't even looked at this first home. Remember, it's supposedly not available, occupied, not for sale. And so we called in the light about it. The next day we go in, we see the real estate agent. Funny, he says his computers misinterpreted the listing. It not only is not occupied like it states, but the people had already moved, the home is available, and so we made an offer, and they, by the way, accepted our offer, and it was exactly what we were looking for. And as many people know, I have a company called LamasBeauty.com, or Lamas, which is LAMAS, and would you be surprised to know that this property had 2 acres and 3 llamas on the property, which when we made the offer, the owner phoned up and said, would you like to keep the llamas? So, I mean, that to me, it was...
That was a sign, right?
Isn't that something? And and I guess llama is spelled LL instead of with one L, but the synchronicity there and the coincidences and the fact that they had llamas on the property where we didn't see animals anywhere around, and that he threw them into the deal and said, would we like to have them, because they don't want to, you know, uproot these animals. It was just unbelievable. And I think it was a big part of calling in the light and asking our higher power to do not only what's best for the greatest good of all concerned, but if this is meant to be, helping make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Wynn, I love you. I just, you know, when I see you, I'm going to kiss you. Right on the lips.
No. Do it over the air, Don. I'd be embarrassed.
And I've seen pictures. You got nice lips.
All right, thank you. Well, you know what? I have an idea of something. We really don't have a guest tonight, do we?
Well, we're both guests.
We're both guests.
That's right.
Actually, we have a guest.
We do.
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Are you surprising me?
I'm surprising you.
You do that often. Okay, let me have it.
This whole show was a surprise, right?
That's right.
Guess who we have on the line is Girlfriend Dex.
You're kidding. I love it. Well, Girlfriend X, can I just call you GX for short?
GX? Let's just call her X for short, okay? So, actually, she's not really a guest. She's like, she's going to stay in the background, and when we want her to ask her something, she'll just come in and say, what do you think of this, and what do you think of that? Or if she feels like it's really important to say something, she'll say something. You know, for the people that are tuned in, maybe we should tell you who Girlfriend X is. Wait a second here. Do I have this here? Don, talk for 1 minute, because I'm going to get something while you're talking.
Okay.
Okay? You can have a little chat with Girlfriend X till I get back.
You got it. Well, X, Miss X, we'll just call you Miss X. It is just an absolute delight to have you again. You would be surprised how many people have contacted me after our last show that you were on. And they, I got to tell you, I got emails and phone calls of people saying, that you were wonderful. You knew completely what you were talking about. They resonated with what you were saying. It made things clearer for them. I mean, quite the feedback. So I'm honored to have you back. And, for the people in the, you know, listening in right now who don't know, who Girlfriend X is, why don't you, let them, fill them in a little bit?
Well, I have a surprise for you.
Uh-oh. She didn't tell me this. What's the surprise?
Tonight was a first for Wynn and myself, too.
Don't tell her about that. Are you going to tell them about that?
Uh-oh. Is this going to be something I'm going to want to hear?
I think it will be very interesting. I'm not going to go into detail. I'll just tell them what happened.
You know, we're into the details.
Oh, you're into the details? Well, you better consult your dear twin brother about that, then.
Uh-oh. Now I'm scared.
Your dear twin brother got a private reading tonight.
Really?
Yes. That's why I'm lying down in my bed and I'm exhausted.
Funny, because Dad told me he was going to be doing a private. I didn't know when, but he did let me know that he said, you know, out of all the people that do readings, Doug's never, I don't think he's ever in my life ever had a, you know, or paid for a private reading. And he was so tickled when he heard that you were going to do a private reading. He called me up and let me know. But I didn't know you'd already been done.
He got a lot out of it, too.
I bet he did.
I got a lot out of it. It was pretty awesome. Listen, I want to, for the people that are tuned in, I wanted to just share a little bit about Girlfriend X, okay? X, can I say anything?
We're calling her Miss X, right?
As long as it's not too X rated, yes.
Miss Triple X.
Right. So, Girlfriend X met me at a conference about in 2002, April of 2002.
March
of 2002.
It was my birthday.
All right, March. It was March 29th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost April. And I serenaded her on the piano, and a month later, she drove off, left her husband to move in with me. Of course, I was living in my RV, parking my RV in front of Denny's, so we upgraded, went to Motel 6, and then we took a drive to Portland, and we were on the way to Portland, and we were Northern California, and
Mount Mesa.
Mount Shasta area, and it was pouring rain, and I did a prayer. And at the end of the prayer, I said, so does anybody want to talk to me? And suddenly she answered, but it wasn't her. And I was having this 15-minute conversation, and I thought she was making it up. It was kind of far out. I said, she might. And after the conversation, she said, that was the strangest thing that ever happened to me. So we went on, and I thought it was some weird entity from Mount Shasta. So we go to Portland, and we're staying in a hotel. And 3 days later, I ask her, would you like to try this again? And she says, okay. And this time I take out a tape recorder. And this was our conversation. I'm just going to read it because it's kind of far out. Is anyone there? Does anyone want to identify themselves? Good evening. We bring forth knowledge of the higher intergalactic species of the Lone Star System Alcyon. This is to be our first recorded transmission to you, and we are pleased to announce our engagement of technological meshing with your channel so that we may bring forth to you information of a needed higher caliber for transmission and integration at this particular frequency and station, and knowing pertinent to the incoming questions. Have you questions this evening, Mr. Wynn? Wynn, can you describe how you perceive our channel's consciousness when we ask for your presence? This is a multi-level diagrammatic question, and our present channel is a very wideband receiver station, calibrated for exceptional galactic clairaudience and claircognition, which when tuned to the proper channel below the current threshold of consciousness, shall make inroads into accessing very pertinent information at this time of transition. There is evidence of internal pre-structural damage in this entity, overlying from two focused thoughts, thought patterns of rigid value structures applied over an awakening matrix, which must be moved. The present entity is having a difficult time removing the residual calcification of thought forms. Your assistance is asked to help said entity and readjust according to contractual service. But since we have the entity on the line with us and it's 3 years later, would you like to make a comment on that? Because that's a pretty interesting opening line, isn't it?
Well, in terms of a three-dimensional human experience, it meant my life as I knew it completely imploded or exploded, and I went from I went from living with a multimillionaire Silicon Valley husband on a mountain overlooking Villa Montalvo in Saratoga with a contemporary house of all glass, and having $5 million in the bank, to being penniless, having an emotional breakdown, wondering if I was crazy, then discovering that I had epilepsy, and having almost everybody I knew, including my family, ostracize me, and then having negative attacks and having fires start around us, and then trying to convince myself that Wynn wasn't evil. So that's the short version of it.
Are you convinced?
I'm convinced.
Then I asked the question, and I was going on in the same reading. Any answers why she wishes she wasn't in a body? Now, she would complain about all these aches and pains in her body and she could barely endure it, and so I asked the question, and the answer was, this said entity contractually is very far from her home, some 30,000 to 40,000 light years. She is an outpost messenger, so to speak. It is as if a person is living in an extremely foreign country with virtually no one to communicate. It is a spiritual homesickness rather than a moral or ethical weakness on the part of this entity. There have been many lifetimes of service and this culmination is a highly respected yet sacrificial homage taken by this entity. Have patience here. When she feels as if she is really giving and being received, her gratitude for being physicalized will increase. Are you feeling more grateful to be physicalized?
Well, ever since the show started, my legs stopped hurting.
There we go. As for now, the density of earth changes weighs upon her interior metabolics very heavily and throws her endocrine system off balance. So this was our first time this happened. So for the next 6 months, I would be dragging her around to these different street fairs, trying to earn enough money to make her happy, which was impossible. In the middle of it all, she would be saying, "Those guys want to talk to you again. By the way, I have a book about this, which I'm just about to put online, my little draft copy. It's called Conversations with My Girlfriend. It tells all about the episodes of how crazy our life was at that time. Actually, the book ends with her leaving me. In fact, you know, she's in Massachusetts. I'm in Sedona, so we're not together right now in the physical. So during the period that we were having all these conversations, we were having them. They predicted a newspaper headline in advance, and they actually saved my sister's life. And I kept telling her this was important, and she kept telling me she was making it up. So I said, "Well, how did you do that? That's good if you're making it up." But she didn't want to believe it and eventually ran away from it. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. If you want to hear the story, it's on my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend. But I thought that since she and I are on the line tonight with and Don, you know, everybody wants to know, what can we do? How can we do it? What's the process of dealing with this shift that's going on the planet? And I thought it would be a good night to try to explain at least how I've learned. You know, my experiences, of course, I've written the book. I've had a lot of guidance. First, I wrote the book about David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Then I have two girlfriends in a row that have another group soul talking to me that I'm asking all these questions to for the past 3 years. And then I have messages coming in my dreams. And so, you know, if I have the right information, I have this PhD in how this all works about all kinds of things that you really can't figure out as a human. There's no way to figure it out. Now, I always tell people, I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if any of this is right, because I can't validate a lot of it. But some of it intuitively feels right, and a huge amount can be validated. And the sources constantly amaze me with their lovingness and care for the human condition. And the readings, you can read the readings on Conversations with My Girlfriend and draw your own conclusions. But basically, people are, especially the people checking into blogging, are all worried about earth changes and this, that, and the other thing. And what they keep saying, what they say over and over again, is that we are the earth changes. You, who are the listeners, are the earth changes, i.e., how much could you stay tuned in to this frequency? And I wanted to, like, talk about some of the ways that I've learned that helped me stay tuned in that maybe might help you. Okay to talk about, Don?
I think it would be actually quite excellent.
Yeah. So, first of all...
Okay, that's enough.
Your mother's going to yell at me tonight. I'm hogging your show. Is your mother listening?
You know, she probably is. So,
Hildy?
You're going to have to be careful.
Hildy would like to say hello. We want you to know that Girlfriend X had some health recommendations for you through Doug. So do what he says, okay? And now, back to the agenda of the show.
Thank you, Wynn.
This is like... Okay.
The other side also knew that she was of German extraction.
Ah. So you mean they knew that she was from Austria, Germany?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time there. I've lived in Switzerland for many years, and I've spent
beautiful.
A lot of time in Vienna.
And
in fact, I just 2 days ago reconnected with my German teacher who I lived with in Switzerland 20 years ago, and I had lost contact with her about 10 years ago.
Mrs. Frauchild.
Nine. Oh. Ursula Zwingli.
Ah.
And she's a direct descendant of Zwingli, the Protestant reformer. You know, you had Martin Luther.
Right, right.
Calvin, and then you had Zwingli in Switzerland. She's a direct lineage from the 1500s. And so it's very kind of interesting, synchronistic. It's interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, now where were we? Here I am telling everybody how to stop Earth changes and connect with the Galactic Center, and you guys are talking about music teachers.
But you know what? It's important because his mother is from an area very close to some of the highest mountains on the Earth,
mm-hmm.
the Alps. And mm-hmm. what we're doing right now is we are grounding energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so mountains, the Himalayas, the Alps, and I used to live on top of the mountains in the Bay Area, the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as the oceans have to do with mm-hmm. the emotions,
mm-hmm.
the mountains have to do with stabilizing frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about ascending frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the points of information that came through this evening from the other side was that if we can hold a frequency of 3.7 or higher, we will not experience the physicalization of traumatic earth changes the way that people below that threshold will. So it's up to our own consciousness as to what we will experience.
That I totally and absolutely believe.
So I want to create the visualization here so that the people listening can tap into that frequency. That's
mm-hmm.
my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but that's my goal for this show. So, first of all, we want to visualize something. Visualize that our solar system is moving through this energy that the spiritual people have had a name for, all kinds of names. They call it etheric energy. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone energy, Shakti energy, unified field. Russians call it toroid wave radiation. That's what it was referred to in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's this energy that our planet is moving through. And this energy has peaks in it where it gets very strong. And as our planet moves through those peaks, it changes things down here. The peaks come every 75,000 years. The reason the Mayan calendar ends in 2012 is because the Mayans were connected with interdimensional sources where they could get this information, and they ended their calendar right on the exact point of the peak. Now, as far as I know, nothing is going to happen special on that exact date. It's already happening now. It's going to continue to happen through that date, and continue to happen, you know, maybe 10 years forward from that date, at least as far as we can tell. Now, what's it mean to be going through a peak of energy? It's causing a vibration that energy is the same energy that a human feels when they meditate, when they lift their vibration, when their chakras are open. It's the same energy. The same energy, I believe I could say it's the same energy that acupuncturists work with. It flows in our body. It's not normally recognized by science, but everybody knows what it is. When you walk into a room, you feel good vibes. It's that energy. So right now, where you are is that energy. You are in that peak of energy that's flowing around our planet. And what's being asked is for you to be a conduit for that energy, i.e., to let it flow through you and not block it. What does it mean to let it go through you? It means opening yourself up. Now, everyone is different in their ability to do this. So what we're going to do on this show is just try to create the visualization that you can tap into to allow you to have that experience and a reference point for what that means to open yourself up and let this energy flow through you. Because when it happens, you know it happened. You can feel it. There's something, there's tingling, there's goosebumps, there's stuff that happens in your body. But as you get used to it happening, you don't feel that. The first times it happens, you feel all kinds of, you know, you're doing a quantum leap from where you normally are to something new. And then after a while, you hold that, and it's just part of your normal waking consciousness. Well, the first thing that happens when you decide you want to open up to this energy is every area that's in your body that is blocked suddenly starts to release. So oftentimes, you'll get an experience of that energy, and then you're going to reintegrate it because your body's going to be throwing up all its blocked patterns. We all have blockages in different areas. That's a very unique thing. Some people have, you know, their chest blocked. Some people have their sexual area blocked. Sometimes a lot of New Age people open up their higher areas and ignore their lower areas. And what happens is, although you feel this energy and you have all this experience, it doesn't flow all the way through your body into the earth. Now, part of healing the planet, part of keeping earth changes out of your area has to do with letting it flow into the earth. Now, there's two ways to release your body to allow this energy to flow. And I call it, and this is my own personal way of looking at this after studying life all these years. It's evolution from the bottom up and evolution from the top down. And from the bottom up has to do with saying, I've got all these blockages, and I've got to release them. And so you then go get therapy, you get all these different techniques for releasing blockages. Some people take you back to past lifetimes. And theoretically, at the end of all of this, you've opened up your energies, and you're flowing in this cosmic bath, so to speak. Now, the other way is from the top down. The top down doesn't require going through all this stuff, although you'll go through it a little bit. It's more like saying, how do I connect the higher energies and work them through me? It's what Jesus referred to as grace and service. It's like we have all these beings. And I've learned this from all these conversations that I've had with girlfriend X and girlfriend Y, if she's listening. We have girlfriend X on the show, but girlfriend Y has played a very important part in this whole evolution process that I've gone through. So I want to give her some acknowledgement. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. So now I forgot what I was saying. It's like through all the questions and answers and then validating it and putting it against my own experience and my growth, I've had this phenomenal experience of how you can open up to these interdimensional sources and they can actually start working with you in a dream state. And they can... Actually, you do it. I say they do it. They don't do it. You do it. But you get help if you want it. You get assistance. And you get assistance first from your own, as Carla Ruckert said, your own immediate guides. And, you know, most of us have this veil. We don't even believe that exists. But I'm telling you, it's real. And the first thing is to start paying attention to your dreams. Because all although we have this veil in our waking consciousness about what's actually happening on these other dimensions, in your sleep state, you move into the other dimensions. And you can make a direct connection with your own source of wisdom, which is higher than your regular source. And, you know, myself, when I first did this, I did this, you know, about 3 years ago, put a pad by my bed, and suddenly I'm getting message after message after I'm waking up with these sentence fragments that I thought were myself, but they couldn't have been. They started predicting things in my future, and I became really very clear that...
Do you mind if I ask Miss a few questions?
Am I getting boring here? I'm ranting and raving too long?
I don't know.
Maybe I am. Okay, go ahead. Ask this X a couple questions.
Well, Miss X, you were saying that mountains and various areas have various energy, I guess, signatures to them, is what you're meaning. And I kind of wanted a little more explanation on that, because I've heard that quite a bit, and I understand it, I believe, but I'd like to hear more about that as far as when it comes to bodies of water, oceans, mountains, forests, and what kind of energy they provide, and the significance.
Well, from the information that I've intuitively gathered and read about, and also what's coming from various sources on the other side, especially in the last year or so, from what I understand, the Earth, just like a human body, has, if you've ever looked at an acupuncture chart, it has hundreds of points. And one point, you know, on the foot might control the kidney or the liver. Or a point on the hand might control the pineal gland.
Right.
So there's all of these electromagnetic ley lines, you know, in the human body as well as in the Earth. So that you can think of the Earth herself as a body. And her lakes and rivers and streams and mountains have certain purposes, certain functions. Just as our hands perform a certain function, our feet, our kidneys, our intestines, our ears. And I couldn't tell you per se what, for example, Lake Michigan's function is.
Right.
Although I've heard again and again and again that fourth dimensionally, the Mount Shasta region is the root chakra for the New Jerusalem, or Terra, or the fourth dimensional Earth. I've heard that again and again and again.
Right.
I've also heard that places in the Yucatan, Machu Picchu, Cozumel, and Chichen Itza are very important points. And places in the Andes, the Alps, of course, and then you have the Himalayas and the Hawaiian Islands, you know, where the newest land on the planet is being formed.
Right.
So, I mean, in any kind of a even quasi-scientific way, I couldn't really tell you what the meanings of the places are, but people who are sensitive can certainly go to a place, you know, go to the Oregon coast and hang out on the water.
Yeah,
it has a very, very specific feeling to it. Go to Big Sur, go drive down, you know, the California highway, the coast near Monterey, where Wynn and I met. It has a very, very powerful, distinct energy, some of the most powerful on the planet, I think.
Well, they were saying some of these areas, like you're speaking of, can help, I guess, help you open up your chakras in different chakras depending on different places. Like you were saying, Mount Shasta, from what I understand, it's the root chakra again, but it also deals in communication.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn's area, if you were to take Sedona area, I hear that's a melting pot of all the different chakras where all the different energies meld in. So if you go to, if somebody goes to Sedona, they're really going to get a feeling, a lesser degree, but a feeling of all the different energies from around the world in one spot.
What I've heard, I think that's true. What I've heard of Sedona is that it's a vortex point, both a female and male vortexes, and it acts as an amplification point, one of the most powerful on the planet. So whatever issues a person is going through will surface at
right.
that time. So if you want to go changes extremely fast,
go to Sedona.
Sedona. So if you're fairly clear, it's a good place for you. If you've got a lot of issues to work through, it's a place to go spend some time, but then you need to retreat because too much comes up too fast. It's too hard to process.
Well, when it comes to, here's a question. Actually, it was one that I was I've been meaning to ask somebody, anybody. But I think you'd probably be able to answer this. I've heard when I was younger, I forget where I got this, but I don't really know what to think of it, but I tend to believe it, and that is animals. And I don't know how familiar you are or what sort of connection you may have with the Devic kingdoms and the animal kingdom and so on, but if you're a person that cannot kill an animal, let's say you can't hunt, you don't eat meat, you respect, I mean, all animals. You won't even kill a little spider or a little fly or a bug. If you got a little ant in your house, you're actually going to pick him up and move him outside. I mean, to such a daunting degree of respect for life that when you go out in nature, animals come to you. You can, they will actually communicate with you more. There will be no animal that will have any fear of you whatsoever. Now, that's what I hear. In other words, somebody who absolutely doesn't destroy any animal life at all can be a person that can walk up to the most ferocious beast in the wilderness, and that animal is not going to be anything but docile towards this individual.
Well, if you believe the stories about St. Francis, who supposedly had perfected love in his heart, and supposedly was a vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
The animals loved him so much that they followed him around all the time, and the birds were always landing on his shoulders and squawking in his ears, and he had to say, please, silence, sometimes. I think it's very true. I had an experience about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. I did some work with the Dominican sisters in a contemplative monastery. The Dominican sisters, a cloistered order in Menlo Park. And I was driving, and I was about to turn into the driveway, and I saw this tiny little squirrel in the middle of the road. And I thought he was injured, and I pulled off, and it was a baby. And I'm not sure what. It was a very strange experience. I went over to him. He just looked at me. I looked at him. He didn't look like he was hurt. I picked him up. I cradled him. I walked across the street. I put him in the monastery garden with St. Francis' statue. And he ran off. So it was a squirrel in the middle of the street. And, normally they don't let you get anywhere near them.
Yeah.
Unless you have some food or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. John, I wanted to add that having a pet is one of the best ways of helping your own energies get balanced. Because a dog, for example, will respond to your heart chakra. And the heart chakra is one of the hardest to keep open in today's world. That's why people love dogs so much.
It's a good point.
It's something that if somebody is feeling alienated and alone, getting a pet will help them have this cosmic contact better. Do you want to comment on that, X?
Oh, I mean, I am a kitty cat fanatic. We rescued 4 baby kittens that were abandoned on the side of the mountain road we lived on, and I insisted on keeping all 4 of them. And my husband thought I was nuts, but within a week he'd fallen in love with them too.
Your former husband?
Yes, my former husband. And at that time he was. And they became our children, especially my children. And they're still in California because I can't have them here. The people that I rent this house from are very allergic to animals. And so I volunteer at the shelter here, and I work with little feral kittens. And I'm just kind of crazy about cats, but also dogs. My mother she now takes care of a little Shih Tzu, and Wynn had a dog, Obi, who's now being taken care of by girlfriend Y's friend in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very sweet little terrier, and used to be extremely attached to Wynn, and now is extremely attached to this other person.
Actually, I was recommended by the Elohim to give Obi to him because he needed him worse than I did.
And it's helped this person tremendously.
Is that like Obi as in Obi-Wan?
That's right.
Yep.
Actually, his name has changed. I call him Obi. Now he's called Sir Doggo.
Sir Doggo.
Sir Doggo.
How do you feel lately? I mean, Miss X, because I tell you, lately the energies, you know, I'm feeling them more and more and more, and they're getting, they're seeming to be more balanced, even though it seems to be a little more chaotic out in the world, politics and so on, and weather-wise it's starting to clamor again, but I don't know, I guess the energies are starting to become more and more pronounced. It just feels like that, and when we bring those energies within us, it just seems to be a really wonderful balancing system. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could help me put some sort of a...
Well, I think it very much depends on the individual and where they are in their process. For some people, this is a very excruciating time. For those who have been on the path and are very committed and have really been working on their stuff, I think that it's kind of like being in a dark tunnel and finally seeing some light.
Yeah.
I noticed that after the 11/11 change in November, and now we're on the eve of the 12/12. In 2 hours here on the East Coast, it's going to be December 11th. These are kind of cosmic synchronicities that have to do with sacred geometry, and I really do think it has to do with some kind of acceleration of infusion of energy into the latent strands of our DNA, which is also connected with the cycles of our sun, which is supposedly also going through huge changes and
huge,
acting in
yeah.
ways that scientists at NASA can't explain. And also, if people are interested in this, if they are to go to David
Ascension2000.com
website,
yeah.
Ascension2000, or maybe his new one, he explains a lot about some of the geocosmic changes going on in our local solar system that don't make mainstream news, and the polar ice melting on Mars and gravitational fields increasing 300% on Pluto. All this has happened in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's still being kept so quiet.
You don't, unless a person has a specific interest in science.
People don't know. Yeah, they're right in the dark, and these changes are so paramount.
And of course, there's no global warming going on. President Bush, you know, thinks that's crazy. So.
Well, he also thinks that the Constitution is just a piece of paper.
we're not political on this show.
Well, that's right. You know, we have a wonderful. I just wanted to announce this because I promised I would. We have a wonderful new show that's going to be airing today at 10 to 11 by a lady named Liz. Excuse me, and that's somebody ringing in. But we did this in reverse. Wynn called me, and we hooked into the show. So we're going to have to deal with the beeping here. Liz Miller is going to be doing a new show called Otherwhere, and she's from Australia, from down under. So she's going to be doing a show here today at 10 to 11. I want you all to stay tuned for it because it's going to be a wonderful show, and I've spoken to Liz numerous times. Beautiful, beautiful lady. She's going to have a heck of a program. And I also wanted to say, Miss X, I love that name. That
we're ready for Howard Stern.
Are we ready? You know, I would love
maybe
to.
You guys are, but I'm not going down to my birthday suit in front of Howard Stern.
You know, now that would be an interview between you and him. Letting him in on his own, pointing out the little nuances of his character. I mean, I shouldn't say this. But
how come Howard Stern never has men go naked?
Well, I can understand that, but.
Well, I mean, you have women naked, you have to have an even playing field, right? That's fair.
Yeah, I think we should all write letters into Howard Stern.
Yeah, and then we should have a judge of women kind of making comments on the men.
That's right.
The world's not ready for that yet.
I guess.
Hey, Don, I'm really glad you interrupted me.
Why is that?
Because I was talking too long.
Oh, no, I like it when you talk.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you're asking Miss X some questions, bringing her to the surface.
Well, she's, you know, it's, well, thank you. She's such a delight to have on this program. I mean, there are very few people that I know of that have the power and in communicating and in that interdimensional communication as Miss X. So it's, you know, I mean, there's very few, I think, even on this planet that actually have that strength in their communication to be able to do what she does. So whenever you can pick her brain and get some information out of her, I think it's important.
We should have my father listen in. When he always told me if I had another brain, it would be lonesome.
Get your dad to listen. We'll send him a tape of the show. Huh?
Oh, okay.
You know what? Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you have a question?
Oh no. It was just follow through.
I don't have anything to say. I mean,
I was going to say maybe one day we'll have a show where people could actually call in and speak with Mix X and ask her questions that they have been dying to know. Because, you know, a lot of my questions, I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that have tons of questions, and they haven't reached that place that they're still searching, and they have tons of questions, and I don't know what they are, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners would love to be able to call up someone like Miss X and just ask away, and if that's in the cards, maybe it's something you can consider and think about.
Maybe we can have one of the sources come through and you know, we have to be careful with that because it's so sensitive and she's so sensitive. But maybe if we filter the questions, we can ask them to a source and have it right on the air.
Yeah.
I think that actually would be a better way to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think it's good to I think she would agree here is that there's a difference between what she knows in her conscious mind and what, you know, what comes through her.
Yeah.
But and the other thing about hooking in with a source, and this is something that is probably new information for most people. So listen to this one carefully. Most people who channel an individual entity. When you channel a group soul, you're not channeling an entity. You're channeling an energy that suddenly has a voice. And that energy is not far and removed. When we think of a celestial source as being far away or, you know, some other star system, actually, that energy can move right into your space. And then it has a voice. And although many of us have felt celestial sources in our space, we felt it in all this vibration around us and upliftment, it's not often that vibration and energy has a voice. Like David Wilcock is a super voice for a group soul that is Ra. And
well,
that,
just interrupt. They are very eager to talk right now if you want them. You have to do a protective invocation first.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Don?
I would be delighted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, I usually do this at the end of the show, but we're going to do a clearing right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect all of us present and every person that's listening, no matter where they are. And we ask that any negativity be taken to the realms, the higher realms of light, and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. And we ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources operating in the Christed energy, service to others. And do we have a source that would like to say hello to the blog-in audience right now?
We of the celestial realm ask for the protection of Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Ezekiel, Ra'el, Uriel, the Council of Twelve, the Council of Saturn, the Council overseeing the emanations of the Hunabku. We invoke the Christed consciousness of the Christ light and all sentient beings, animal, Devic, human, involved in the ascension process, taking a on Terra as we so speak, moving her from density 3 through 4 into 5 and upwards. We presently speak to you from Council of 12, the Oversoul Council of our solar system. Have you questions for us this evening? We are indeed very, very pleased to have this opportunity presented to us for such dissemination of light to so many who can serve and uplift their fellow humans. We take this as a grave responsibility and huge honor. Have you queries for us at this time?
I'll ask a question on the behalf of all those people who are listening. And each person individually wants to know how they can participate in their own life in the best way for the upliftment of this planetary process. Could you share that, please?
Go to the source. Go to the center. Go to what is in your heart. We are trained here in this Western culture especially to ignore the prompts, the intuitive pleadings, the emanations of the heart. Some call it the intuition, the gut instinct. This is almost always correct. We are too rationalistic a culture, too intellectualized a culture. Not that the mental is negative, but the mental, and thus the ego, is to serve the soul, not to be master of the soul. Right now, we are struggling within a third-dimensional structure that is enslaved by rules, rules which serve the ego. The ego dominates world politics, world business, oppression, mercenary war, not the heart. As leaders such as the Dalai Lama have said, strive for compassion for all, for harmlessness for all. For in the end, we are all the same. We all cry. We all hurt. We all need love. We all need food. We all need shelter. We all need each other. Look at your disaster here in the United States. Look at Katrina. Look at what happens when suddenly a natural catastrophe takes away the very existence of life, the technologies which we have come to rely on as the most concrete. They are not the most concrete. Physical things are not the most concrete. It is what is in the soul and how we treat others. This indeed is the most concrete. And we will continue to manifest these lessons as long as we are intolerant of others, because others are only aspects of ourselves. The more quickly we can accept ourselves and our own imperfections, the more quickly we can harmonize with others of different dispositions and understand that differences, like colors, like musical tones, like different plates on a table, different delicacies, are to be savored for their differences, not to be juxtaposed and judged one against another. There is room for multitude and plentitude. Variety, a good thing, not bad. We must learn to rejoice and see beauty in variety. This is one of the most pressing points. There is much polarization, especially here in the United States, in terms of political spectrum. Things become heated here emotionally very quickly. There is an eroding middle class. Canada, Europe, Australia, even India, at this point, has a larger middle class than does the U.S. This started happening in the 70s. In order to have a large middle class, one must have an educated populace. Once the public school systems are eroded and you only have an elite populace and a disinformed populace or a media misinformed populace, then divisiveness can start. This is what has happened in the United States. The U.S. is actually at a very critical juncture because karmically she is a way shower for the rest of the world. And yet there is much she has to learn from others. especially as regards humility. Americans have many, many good things in their character. But the one American characteristic, we speak generally now, of course, archetypally, not of individual people, is the country as a whole must learn to cooperate as part of a world, must learn to take her place among the world stage, not as a braggart, not as the mightiest and the greatest, not as a teenage rebellious soul, for she is a young country. She must learn to cooperate.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Could I ask you to explain how the Council of 12 operates and its role in the affairs of our solar system?
Know you the disciples of Christ?
Yes.
Yes. We are likened unto the disciples of the Christ. We are the direct emissaries to the Galactic Council, which oversees the rising vibration of your current planet Earth, but also the solar system, for your sun too is rising in vibration. And the entity now channeling, in a previous experience, actually was given information pertaining to a dimensional shift in which there would be an experience of a binary star system at the end of the shift. For it is not just Terra alone that is shifting. It is indeed the entire solar system. Does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. Don, would you like to ask a question?
I would like to ask if there are any suggestions that could be made by the Council of 12 that we can, that what we're trying to do here with Blogging Service and BBS Radio, whether there are any suggestions you could make that would help in our endeavors to reach and uplift mankind, and anything that you'd like to say on that behalf would be helpful.
The Council applauds your efforts greatly. One suggestion is to make information, interviews, such as the one with Carla Ruckert and your upcoming guest and various others, available in either transcript format or recordable CDs, which people may order from you. This is one possible way of disseminating the information even further.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we ask that perhaps you could send blessings to everyone that's listening and energy into their space so they can have some experience of upliftment and a reference point. Can that be done?
Yes. The Galactic Council, the overseers of the Council of 12, energized by the Hunab Ku, the galactic center, the emanation of the Christ consciousness, now envelop all listeners, all sentient beings, and uplift their hearts with golden, silver energy of the magenta ray, of the harmlessness, unconditional love ray, the dolphins, of the whales, of the oceans, of the trees, of Gaia herself. Spend time in nature. Behold what you have been given, and behold how you treat her. For how you treat her is how you treat others, and ultimately how you treat yourself. Spend time with children, your loved ones, animals. Slow down your hurried pace. Take time to breathe. It is better to do one thing well and simply with love than many things half-heartedly. Be centered. Be present. Now is the only time that there is. There is no past and future as we move into multidimensionality and non-linearity. There are points. One is called Chronos, linear time. The other, Kairos, non-linear time. Atonement, the Christed energy. They intersect at a place ruled by the planetoid Chiron, which means the ultimate wound within the self, which must be healed so that one can then serve the planetary destiny and fulfill the Dharma for which one's birth contract was prearranged and made. It is time now for the indigo children and the crystal children to awaken. And the indigo children are not just the children now. Indigos started to come in as early as after the Second World War. The majority of indigos came in after 1978. Those children born after 1993 are primarily crystal children. The crystal children actually can see the emanations of the energies of which we speak. The indigos are aware of the energies and are more likely to feel them and intuit them in their body. But with time and practice, their inner eye, third eye, can be awakened to see the beautiful geometrical forms which look like the inside of a light prism put inside of a kaleidoscope. We bless you. We thank you. We are honored by you. We wish to serve you. Bring us your tears, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, and your questions. We bid you good night. Blessings to all. Love, peace, and may everyone have what they need, always and forever. Adonai, Adonai, Zebaioth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that was an absolute treat, Wynn.
Well done. Let's thank Girlfriend X for coming to the plate.
Thank you very much, Miss S. I must say, you are a treasure and a delight, as always.
I think we have to thank the council. I'm just the radio.
Well,
you have to volunteer. To the plate.
But you know what? Wouldn't you say we should call this Tales of a Reluctant Channel.
Okay.
But one thing I do have to say about my dad, which is kind of interesting, is that
We should make a CD of this.
We should. This should be recorded. My father, like Wynn, had his ham radio license by the age of 12, and was talking to people all over the world. You know, by 12 and 13, he's still friends with people that he met over the ham, even now. And he's now 71. He had a high-tech company, an image processing company, but he holds early patents in semiconductor technology. And when I started thinking about it, my father being this scientist person, and then my mother being a very, very, how would you describe her? She's very artistic. She's got she's very musical, almost self-taught, and certainly could have been a professional musician, a concert caliber pianist, had she wanted to be. And the scientist and the artist, and they both had very strong personalities and fought like cats and dogs, and we had this crazy dysfunctional family. But in hindsight, it all kind of makes sense.
By the way, Karen in Ohio has volunteered to do transcripts, Don.
Really?
So we can put them up.
Wonderful news.
Wonderful. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Danke, danke, danke vielmals.
You know, Don, if people email and say they would like CDs available, you get a few. Maybe I'll figure out how to do that. Okay?
That would be wonderful, actually, because that would be just huge if people would do transcripts or...
You know, particularly this message from the Council of 12 tonight,
yeah.
I'm going to type up and make that the current message from Girlfriend X, okay?
Okay.
Because that was really an awesome...
I'm getting that they want you to do that. They like that.
Yeah. And I think we'll start to be more on target and getting messages up regularly, okay?
Wonderful.
So, on that note...
I know Dr. Bell has a live showing.
I hope Dr. Bell is listening tonight.
He's a regular listener. Talking with him is it's always a pleasure because he has that vip and vinegar and strength, and he always has such a wonderful show. And of course, that's why I'm letting the listeners know that we've bumped into his time a little bit. But I promise you, if when Dr. Bell comes on, which is next, and
when the Council of 12 speaks, Dr. Bell can wait.
Yeah, I didn't say that, Dr. Bell. Wynn did. But need to say, folks, he'll be on, and then we're going to have a show, the new show by Liz Miller with Otherwear, and then when that shows over, Dr. Mel might even come on again to finish off if we've got a lot of people or however it is going to be. Again, as you know, this is community radio. Amateur radio, we hope at its best, but again, we're not looking for the best. We're looking to deliver a message of love, peace, joy, and compassion, and we hope you understand that we're trying our best, so we're leaving the professionalism on this network on the sideline, where I think it won't interfere with the messages, and that's something Wynn taught me, I think. You know, don't try to stick professionalism into something that just gets in the way. So, really, it's about the people. It's all about you, the listener, and spiritual growth. And
you know, Don?
Yes.
I can't tell you. It really is an amazing thing to have the Council of 12 speaking to the public.
It is.
I mean, really amazing, okay? I mean, I know it's an honor for them, and it's so amazing.
I felt the energy. I felt it vibe. I mean, I literally felt it palatable right on my face and my skin.
Yeah. And so I'm sure if this is something that they would like to do again, they're here to support us through this process, and I thank you for having created a pure enough vehicle in blogging that this could actually take place.
I thank you for helping make it that way, and all those that have.
I would guess this is the first time in the history of the planet that ever happened.
Well, they actually said that they were waiting for a suitable vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And this was it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
am I right? This is the first time in the history of the
mm-hmm,
planet.
That's what they're saying. They were waiting for a suitable.
How about an Atlantis? Did they ever speak to Atlantis publicly?
That's for the next show. That goes into a lot of other stuff.
Okay, forget it. Okay. Well, in any case.
Well, I'll tell you what, we won't let them down. I know that. I feel it. Because we're going to keep this thing as pure as gold.
Can you imagine if we got this on regular media and got that kind of message through with that kind of energy?
I think
they're saying you will.
We will.
It's important.
And the media that's going to pick this up first is PBS.
Oh, yeah, Don, that's what they said. They said you should be looking for PBS and National Public Television. Yeah. They said that in the conversation with Doug this afternoon.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
They said they gave the indication that if you just made a presentation, you'd be in the door. Do you know? It would happen.
And connecting with, you know, people like James Twyman Dwyer.
Wayne Dreyer.
Those kinds of people at this point are ready to go the next step. So those people have prepared the way for this next level of information.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I don't know what to say, but I trust in exactly what you're saying, and we'll.
Oh, and I need to give credit to Dr. Christiane Northrup in terms of women and women's health.
Mm-hmm.
She's done amazing, and Oprah Winfrey actually too.
I would agree.
In a mainstream way, but just energetically.
She's tried her best. She's given her heart into what she does, and. She's been a true inspiration to not only the ethnic cultures, but to women in general.
Mm-hmm.
And every person that's listening to the show tonight is part of the process. Please tell people what we're doing here. Invite your friends to listen. Because it's not just a matter of us getting listeners. It's changing the energy of the people in your area. And the more people that tune into this kind of energy, you start to resonate it back and forth with them, because the energy on this show comes in above in the place where you are one. And so, therefore, those people you share it with, you'll have a higher oneness vibration with. So, Don, I don't have to do my calling in the light tonight at the end, do I?
No, we've covered it.
We already did it.
That's
we
right.
covered it. So, let's just check out. Thank everyone for listening. We'll check in next week. Who knows what's going to happen? We have some, you know, our guests that are coming on the show.
Well, we have Jean-Claude Covan again next weekend.
Is he next weekend?
Yep, on the 17th.
Okay.
And
do you have a connection with Doreen Virtue?
I do not.
I'm getting an intuitive hit that you need to make a connection with her. She would be happy to do an interview on your show.
Doreen Virtue.
She's the angel lady.
And James Gilliland.
Okay.
James Gilliland, who is a guy that is most interesting. Probably people don't know who he is, but when he's on, you'll find out. And he lives in Washington. He channels some of the most wise information. And he has numerous visits of interdimensional people on his property, which he talks about with pictures. We can post some of the pictures.
Absolutely.
Login. He's got an ongoing miraculous experience in his ranch up in Oregon. So, God bless everybody.
God bless you. Wynn, thank you for being my co-host. Miss X, thank you. It is not only always an honor and a pleasure, but I just get so much out of it. And just thank you. Thank you, the Council 12. Thank you to our listening audience. And I love you all. I really, truly do.
Blessings.
Bye now.
Good night.
Good night. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.